This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Anyhow, Jerry Reese, the architect of the New York Giants, is here joining us now. Jerry, good to see you. How you been, pal?
Good morning. What's happening, guys?
We're doing great. We love coming here, and you know, we view ourselves as winners. So we really enjoy being associated with winners and teams with expectations of winning. You have not always had that in your tenure as GM, although the owners, I'm sure, expect it from you. So going into this season, for you as a GM, how different is it for you, knowing that you've put together a team that most experts think should be making a run towards a potential title?
Well, you know, first of all, you know, we put the same effort in every year. You know, it doesn't turn out like we want it every year, but we put, 100% effort in everything we do during the season, during the off season, and our coaches have really worked hard, and our players have worked hard, and we're looking forward to this season.
Have you ever felt, especially when Coach Coff and the Giants parted ways, that you were under an even bigger microscope or gun of, hey, if this team last year didn't make the postseason, I'm going to be the fall guy for it?
No, nobody's harder on me than me, and this is a high performance business, and everybody knows that. And no matter what team you're on, all 32 teams, all general managers, all coaches, all players, it's a high performance business. Everybody has to perform in this league.
You still here, Bill?
I am here. I'm just checking something out about the draft from last year. There was everybody has expectations around an NFL draft, and coming into this NFL draft, everybody thought that you guys were going to take a tight end. And I remember, vividly thinking, oh, they needed a guy, and you went out and you got Evan Engram. Now, the question about Evan was whether or not he was going to be your Mark Bavaro type end, type tight end, or was he going to be more of a pass-catching Jordan Reed type of tight end? And I think we all think he's a pass catcher, and even Eli said, boy, he's flashing, some great ability, and we could see all that. I'm kind of equating this with the addition of Odell Beckham when you drafted him. Like, nobody really knew about what to expect from him, but you were very confident that you got the best guy in the draft, and here we are 3 years later going into the fourth year. You did get the best guy in the draft. Can you say the same things about Evan Engram now watching him here on the professional football field?
Well, we'll see. He has to go out there and perform. Again, like I said, it's a high-performance business. He's really done well so far in camp this summer, and he's really starting to play fast, and he has all the tools that you want at that position, and he is probably more in the mold of a Jordan Reed, the Bavaro type tight ends. You don't hardly see them anymore in around college football. It's kind of a fast break offense in all the colleges now, and they use these hybrid type tight end H-backs, fast kids, and the Bavaro type tight ends are playing. They're pass rushers now.
Yeah, but what I'm really trying to get to is like your evaluation process, you and your scouts, watching these athletes, and the one thing that I've noticed over the last 2 years, I would say with you, especially free agency now, and also looking at what you've done in the draft, it's like you've found these gems. I mean, I remember talking to you about Odell Beckham Jr. He pulled his hamstring. Nobody knew anything about you. Like, this kid's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. I guarantee he's going to be great. And you are like, you got him. You got this great, explosive, exciting, dynamic football player. And I don't necessarily know anybody really thought that of him except for yourself and your scouts. I'm just your evaluation process of Evan Engram, what you saw in college that you know is going to transfer to this offense to make it a much more athletic offense.
Yeah, well, going back to Odell, our scouts, Mark Ross and all of our scouts, they did a tremendous job, scouting him out. But people knew about him. We were not the only one who knew about him. We were lucky that he was still there when we picked him. So he wasn't a secret, and obviously he was hurt got hurt with his hamstring when he first got here, and but we knew if he could get out there, he'd be a dynamic player, just like Evan Engram. We think Evan can be a game-changing type tight end for us. He can cause a lot of matchups for us. He can line up at a lot of different positions, and he's fast, again, he's starting to play fast and use his speed, and he's got some innate things that like Odell had that you really don't have to coach, and he just kind of naturally does it. So we're expecting big things from him.
You're in an interesting position, talking to Jerry Reese, the GM of the Giants, in that a lot of teams are desperately trying to find a quarterback. You have one. But you also have a quarterback that's on the back end of his career, and at some point in the next couple of years, you know, the longer the better, of course, he's going to say, I'm done playing football, and that could be a contractual thing or just, you know, an age thing. So you always have to be cognizant of, is there a quarterback that we can get that might one day be the future? Now, you obviously have a quarterback that you think highly of, but how much attention do you spend on the thought of who's the next quarterback here?
Well, you know, coaches think, you know, about the year right now, and I think GMs think a couple of years down the road. So it's our job to, you know, try to keep this team ready to go at all times, regardless of when Eli finishes up his career here. Hopefully he'll play, you know, three or four more years for us and play at a high level. But we did draft, quarterback this time, and we think he's, you know, a talented player. And we got a couple more veteran quarterbacks on the team that we really like is going to, you know, battle for that.
It's a weird thing, right? You pick a guy that you hope never plays.
Well,
right?
well, at some point, you know, back when we drafted
Nassib.
We drafted
right, Nassib.
We know
Syracuse, right?
Eli was in the prime of his career, but we wanted to have a quarterback available, and just in case something happened to him. And back then, I said, you know, I hope he never plays. And you know, knock on wood, you know, Eli stayed healthy, and he never did get a chance to play here. And at this point, you know, Eli's, 36 years old. Who knows how long he's going to play? So we have to have a guy in the building who we think can be the guy in the future.
Well, you talk about the quarterback, but you take a look at your division, and you take a look at the other three quarterbacks in your division. I know Kirk Cousins doesn't get a lot of the respect. I think he should. I think he's a terrific football player. He's played himself into a big contract, even though the Redskins haven't extended him. But now you have Dak Prescott. It used to be Tony Romo. Dak exceeded all expectations last year. Mm-hmm. And you have Carson Wentz, maybe a budding star down in Philadelphia. And what you've done in your secondary, to me, is a direct reflection of what is happening around you in your division.
Well, you know, Boomer, in this league, man, this turned into a passing league. You know, we still like to run the ball, but, you know, it's more of a passing league. And if you don't have three corners, man, it's hard to defend these guys. And so you got to have some pass rushers. You got to have some corners and some safeties that can cover these guys. You got to have the pass rusher who can get the quarterbacks off their spot. And we feel like we have some guys that can do that. And you got to have the corners. You know, we think we have three premier corners, and, you know, we got to keep them healthy.
Who was the one guy last year that surprised you that played so well that you didn't – I know you expect it from everybody, but there's got to be a guy or two that played really well for you that Giant fans, you know, don't really know that well, or probably the guy that doesn't get all the kind of the hoopla in the headlines.
Well, the guy that made a significant jump, you know, people know him as Landon Collins. You know, his rookie year, you know, people were down on him. You know, we had a chance to walk off, you know, had a walk-off interception against New England his rookie year, and he dropped the ball. It was a high ball, you know, over the middle, and he didn't come up with it. And the game's over if he makes that play. And, you know, people were down on him a little bit, but we knew that this guy was a good football player, and he made a significant jump. And you know, he's a guy that stands out to me that just stepped out of the shadows and really played well. We thought the guy should have been a first-round draft pick, and we were fortunate to get him in the second round.
Dad, you got a lot of great athletes on this team, man. When you start looking at it and you start surveying your roster and everything, I mean, you got to be pretty proud of what your staff has put together.
Yeah, we have some good players, but here's the thing, Boomer. You know, when you have good players, you know, that doesn't always equate to wins. You know, you got to play as a team. If you got out here and play as a team, we'll have a chance to win, and you know, we have some experience of playing in the playoff. A lot of those guys played last year, and they realize when you get to the playoffs, man, you have to turn it up a notch. And so we have that experience now, and so hopefully, you know, we're starting one day at a time here to practice. You know, all the cliches, you know, it's one day at a time, one practice at a time, one game at a time. We got all that stuff.
Do we buy into those cliches?
Yes.
I didn't give it to the media, but like, when you guys are actually doing it,
100%.
I mean, are we really going to do that?
100%.
You're not looking ahead, you know, week four.
No, every day, you know, you come out here and the players try to get better, and we try to put the best players out there. The coaches try to put them in good position. The players have to make plays.
Like, let's just say you were playing the Jets on a Thursday night. You're probably already looking forward to the next Sunday afternoon. Is that fair to say?
And that's where you get hurt. Here's the deal. If you want to tell them, Jerry, I tell them this all the time. It's one snap, it's one series, it's one quarter, it's one game.
100%.
And it's got to stay simple, especially for a team with a lot of expectations. By the way, your coach and your players are all following through, saying, look, we all understand it takes the work to get there at the end, and we got a long way to go. So I think the mindset is right. from a standpoint. But here's something for you, the general manager. You know, Odell Beckham Jr. comes out last week and says, you know what, I want to be the highest paid player in the league. He doesn't come to OTAs. It's not about money. But is it about money? And, you know, when isn't it about money in this league? I think you're going to have a huge negotiation somewhere along the line in the future. It seems like you guys are not doing anything with him right now. But I would imagine that, as John Mara said, we want to keep him a Giant for life.
Well, you know, for me, we'll keep all of our options open, you know, and to have a player who some people think should be the highest paid player in the National Football League. That's a good problem to have, but we'll keep all our options open. Respect.
Well, he
would say this. I don't think
he thinks that.
Well, I don't think the Giants have ever negotiated a deal.
There's other people that think that probably.
I don't think it's even predating you. If I'm not mistaken, the Giants, as a rule, have never renegotiated a deal during the season. Doesn't mean you haven't had conversations and maybe laid some groundwork for it. But like you said, listen. He is the best wide receiver in football. He wants to be paid like it. I'm sure you guys with the cap constraints would love to pay him the way how you value him. And it just comes down to what's the ultimate number, because that's not a player you let go. You know that. The owner knows that. The question just comes down to how much, right?
We'll keep all of our
Well, the one good thing, though, and to his credit, he's not doing what Aaron Donald is doing. He's not holding out. I mean, he's here. He has a contract. The NFLPA negotiated that contract with the CBA, so you technically have him under control for the next 2 years as long as he shows up and he's happy and he wants to play. But look, this is going to be down the road. You know it's coming, and it's going to be – I think it's probably going to be a contentious negotiation.
I don't.
Well, you know, that's part of the National Football League. You know, contracts are part of it. And again, if you have a dynamic football player and there's some situations with contracts, you know, those are good problems to have.
Hey, did you guys, and you can tell us, because, right, it's
nobody's
us.
Listening. Don't worry about
did
it.
Did you give Lucky Whitehead even a thought or no?
We investigate everything, so we just...
I figured week one, you put him back to return some kicks against the Cowboys.
We investigate everything.
Giant fans would have loved you on that one if he returned one for six, right? And then you cut him.
I get it. Yeah, well, why cut him? He's
you
got
see
a chance.
What I'm saying,
he's got a great
right?
chance over at the Jets, so that's all that matters.
Well, listen, you know, I talked to Eli about being the old man here. You've now, I think you're like the second longest tenured executive in the history of this this football team, we're damn near close.
Is that
so
right?
You're a survivor. It ain't easy being in New York, especially. Listen, obviously we haven't won a playoff game in 5 years.
I heard that. I heard you guys are 10 years.
We're 10 years.
Yeah, you guys have been pounding me for 10 years.
Yeah, well, he has, but not me.
No,
that's probably accurate. That's what yes. I think about it. I didn't know your name for the first three, but then once I got. But look, it's New York is the toughest place to be successful. Whether it's what we do, what you do, no one. It's an unforgiving job. And when you can last as long as you've lasted, I say this, and I say it to Boomer all the time. You know, there are reasons some franchises, I don't care what the sport are successful more than they're not. And it starts with ownership, and it starts with a belief that you don't just fire guys willy-nilly. You can get through bad seasons, mm-hmm. and if you believe that the guy works hard and is competent, you can get through the bad seasons. So it's a testament, I think, to the Maras and Tishes. Because there were times when the fan base is calling for your head and for Eli's and Coach Koff and everyone else. And the fact that there's a continuity and a stability to this franchise is one of the reasons the franchise wins more than it loses. I don't think it's that simple.
Well, you know, I'm blessed and fortunate to work, you know, for the Mara and Tish family. And it's an honor to be here. And I know I come every day and give 100% of what I have. And And you're right. You know, it starts at the top, and the stability is important around the National Football League. And you know, I'm blessed to be here.
Let me ask this question. John Mara came out, I think, yesterday and said he thinks Colin Kaepernick will be playing in the NFL at some point this season. Maybe not Week One, but at some point. He changed his contract, which was on him. They, you know, changed the whole opt-out thing, so he could have, in theory, made an extra $14 million with the Niners. They changed the contract, so he became a free agent. There's this crazy movement outside of the NFL to demand that he get a job, which I don't get at all. But overall, do you think he will play in the NFL, and do you understand why that rhetoric is out there about people wanting to see him get back into the league?
I do think he will play in the National Football League this season, and you know, all the other stuff. I really don't have a lot of comments about that.
But I always tell people, you know, there's 32 teams. Everybody has 32 situations. You drafted a guy. You don't need another guy. You signed Geno Smith. Maybe you try to recreate whatever he had for the Jets. At the end of the day, it's not all 32 teams have a need for a quarterback.
Right. Maybe 10 do, or 12 do. That's why I think, and I would say this, And it bothers me to my core when people accuse leagues, institutions, or owners of being racist. This had nothing to do with black and white at all. We know what the issue is with him and why a lot of teams wouldn't want to bring him in here. But as soon as you make it black and white, I think you lose the focus of what he was trying to do, whether you believe in it or not, and you change the argument to one that winds up in the gutter and does no one any good.
Okay, well, you know, everybody has an opinion about it. You know, my thing is I believe he'll play this year.
You do?
Yeah. I think most executives feel that way. They actually, you know, I know that John Schneider felt that way, the GM of Seattle. They had him in, actually spoke with him. Question is, I haven't heard from Colin. We haven't heard from Colin. We have no idea what he wants. And just like Jay Cutler, I was telling Craig, you know, Jay Cutler was not going to play football this year. Mm-hmm. And he was going to go into TV. He was going to be a TV broadcaster. And then all of a sudden, Ryan Tannehill gets hurt. Jay Cutler gets the money that he was looking for. He gets a reasonably good team, it looks like, in the Miami Dolphins. Mm-hmm. So the situation fits him. To me, if I'm a starting quarterback like Colin was last year, and also a Super Bowl quarterback, by the way, I want to be a starter. I want to have a chance to be a starter somewhere in the league. Mm-hmm. And I think there are only a couple teams that would have afforded him to do that, but I don't necessarily know that they would have been the right fit for him. So you just never know what all the other stuff behind the scenes is going on between teams and players and agents and executives and everything else.
Yeah, a lot of things around the National Football League is being in the right place at the right time. Yeah. So, you know, everybody has a different situation. We have four quarterbacks, but we'll keep our options open if something were to happen.
You have to. You have to keep your eyes open.
Last question for you. And we talked to Jerry Reese before we let him go. There's a bad rumor out there that you were at home a couple nights ago watching the Little League World Series prelim games and saw this kid, Jeffrey Powell, who's 5'2", 220 pounds, and there's a rumor that you guys have already made him an offer to replace Eric Flowers. And I want to know if there's any truth to that.
No truth to that.
How is Eric Flowers doing from your standpoint?
Eric is doing well. You know, number one, you know, he wants to do it. You know, that's the number one thing about it. He was here the whole offseason, you know, working and working on his craft, trying to get better. Again, he's still a young player. I keep saying he's a young player. You have to be patient with the big guys. Everybody knows that. You know, he's only 23. He's improved. You can see it in practice so far, and we expect him to only get better, along with the other offensive linemen in this group. So they have a lot of snaps together, and I think they're going
to
play well.
We appreciate you coming by. Good luck. Okay. I know we won't talk to you at all during the season, but it's always good to see you in
August. General manager should never talk during
right.
the season.
Thanks so much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.